You two, in your submission, have covered a whole host of issues, but I expect some are perhaps more important to you and to your organisation and others. So
sure.
Please speak to us.
First of all, I just want to thank HIRIOC for undertaking this inquiry. The lobby believes that this is a very important inquiry and a very important step in the process of reform, particularly at the federal level. Obviously, people are aware there is very little recognition of same-sex relationships under federal legislation, and it's quite important that we do have an inquiry such as this, which highlights the plethora of legislation that does discriminate against same-sex relationships. So thank you to HIRIOC for undertaking this inquiry, and thank you for allowing us to speak to you today. To give you a bit of a background about the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, we were established in 1988. We're the peak representative organisation for gay and lesbian rights in New South Wales. Our mission is affirming our pride and identity by achieving legal equality and social justice for lesbians and gay men. We've been instrumental in reform for the past 20 years, most notably the 1999 reforms relating to de facto relationship recognition in New South Wales, which were the first areas of relationship recognition in Australia at state level. We've also been involved in other campaigns around the equal age of consent for gay men in 2003 in New South Wales, and also led the campaign for superannuation reform in 2004. Our method of activism for the lobby is based very much around community consultation. We believe it's important that in order to achieve reform, community organisations must speak to our community and must be sure that we do have the mandate to represent our community on matters that are important to them. So having said that, we have undertaken widespread community consultations in 1992-93, first of all around relationship recognition. We also undertook consultations in 2002 around parenting reform, and this year we've just completed consultations around the issues relating to federal relationship recognition. Those findings aren't yet to be released. They are sort of being finalised right now, but I will talk briefly about what we've sort of discovered from those consultations. We undertook consultations this year around focusing primarily on the issue of federal relationship recognition and what models of relationship recognition same-sex couples and the GLBT community in New South Wales wanted, particularly at focusing primarily on federal relationship recognition. We asked participants who were involved in the process what was important to them about relationship rights and about relationship recognition, and what forms of relationship recognition they wanted to see be enacted to represent their relationship under law. What we can say that did come out of the consultations, well, firstly, the process was through two ways. First of all, we had a survey which was filled out, a five-minute survey. That was filled out by 1,500 people, making it possibly the largest survey ever done on federal relationship recognition in Australia. We also undertook 10 community consultations across the state of New South Wales in places like Lismore, Newcastle, Bathurst, Wollongong, and we also had five consultations in Sydney. The outcomes are, first of all, that there is a diverse range of opinions in the gay and lesbian community about what type of relationship recognition people want, and I suppose that really reflects the wider community, and that there isn't this complete support in the wider community for marriage or for one form of relationship recognition. There's increasingly a shift towards de facto heterosexual relationships, and that's evident in the findings from our consultations, that there was a diverse range of support, obviously for marriage. There was also a range of support for civil unions, but also for de facto relationship recognition. The second sort of major finding that stood out for us is that the complexity of legislation and the contrast between fairly comprehensive New South Wales state recognition and a lack of complete federal relationship recognition means that there is, a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding amongst our community about what rights they do and don't have. We often heard stories about people saying that they didn't have rights in terms of hospitals and visitations and things like that. I think that's a combination of, firstly, a lack of information about what rights they do have on a state level, and also, as was talked about, I think, in Michael's oral submission, that it also indicates a real lack of, understanding and education amongst various government departments about the rights that do exist. And so we believe it's quite important that that is acknowledged in this inquiry, and also in our report we'll acknowledge the fact that there is a need for further community education around those issues. Bringing forward the laws and changing the laws is one thing. Educating the community is the follow-up and the equally important aspect of law reform. In terms of same-sex relationships in Australia today, just to give you a bit of an overview, I think it's quite important that this inquiry acknowledges the fact that same-sex relationships, like opposite-sex relationships, provide support, care and security and fulfilment for thousands of GLBT Australians. The one argument that's always put forward by people who oppose same-sex relationship recognition is that the argument around protecting the idea of a family. But we would put forward quite strongly that same-sex relationships do constitute families, and they constitute valid and important families, so they should be acknowledged under law. To give you a bit of an overview about what impact of discrimination means on GLBT Australians, through a lack of relationship recognition, same-sex couples experience discrimination in two forms. First of all, through the various financial and non-financial discrimination that comes with not being recognised under federal legislation. We note in our submission there's a common myth that gays and lesbians have high incomes with no children and have quite an expendable income, to throw around. This is actually contrary to evidence, which shows that there's no direct correlation between high levels of income and sexual orientation. Having said that, we still suffer financial disadvantage that's not available to heterosexual relationships that the government has purposely set up to ensure that those families and those structures are supported financially. Secondly, and I think this was touched on by ACON, legislative discrimination is a major contributor to social discrimination and stigmatisation, and this is an important factor which should not be overlooked. I suppose it's quite easy to pinpoint individual laws and say there is this law which should be remedied, but we need to look at the whole picture and realise that not having federal relationship recognition and not having a government which doesn't believe our relationships are equal sends a very strong, important message which has, really important social implications. There was the private life survey which was undertaken in 2005, which showed that 67% of respondents modified their daily activities based on a fear of prejudice and discrimination. And I believe that fear of prejudice and discrimination in no small part comes from having a federal government which doesn't recognise or value our relationships. I'll briefly, as you mentioned, we did, I think there's close to 30 areas of law that we reference in our submission. I obviously won't go into all of them. What I will talk about, first of all, is the issue of interdependency. The lobby acknowledges that interdependency has a practical purpose, particularly given the current government and the indications that the current government is not likely to recognise our relationships as de facto relationships or spousal relationships. So we do recognise the practical value. However, interdependency is not equal to de facto spousal or marriage relationships. It is a lesser form, it's it basically does not equate to heterosexual relationships that are recognised as de facto or spousal relationships. The second thing is it also is actually the test to prove independency is under current Commonwealth legislation is more strenuous than proving that you are in a heterosexual de facto relationship, so therefore that is another area in which there is a form of discrimination. Thirdly, it's actually not practical in certain pieces of legislation to have interdependency. If you were to bring about interdependency across the board in all areas of Commonwealth legislation, and also at state level, you would have a few issues, particularly in relation to Social Security. If you were to open up the benefits that are derived to couples under Social Security to interdependent relationships, you would be widening the amount of people who do receive benefits quite substantially, meaning that that would result in, a shift in the amount of, a dramatic rise in the amount of people who receive Social Security benefits. So purely from an economic point of view, it's not, purposeful or beneficial to apply that to the Social Security Act. Also the issue of, these are just examples I can think of, the Status of Children Act, the New South Wales Act relating to the non-biological parent being recognised when two women have a child through artificial insemination. It's not practical to identify that relationship as an interdependent relationship or expand the definition to include interdependency. I'll talk about Social Security at the end because I think that's a special case. One area that was spoken of before in the previous submission was about veterans' pensions and Defence Force entitlements. As we do know, in 2005, there were changes to the Defence Force regulations so that same-sex relationships were recognised as interdependent relationships. That was obviously a welcome move, but it's important to note that the legislation relating to Defence Force entitlements was not changed. So that means that there are still discriminations in regards to spousal, funeral and counselling entitlements, death benefits, compensation and pension entitlements, retirement benefits and superannuation, and access into ADF housing loans. So essentially the dichotomy that now exists in the Defence Force is that same-sex relationships do have entitlements in terms of relocation and education and things when the person is when a person is serving in the ADF. However, once that person who serves in the ADF passes away, there are no entitlements for or suffers a major injury. There are no entitlements for their partner. So it's really only a halfway job that needs to be rectified quite soon and quite soon. Briefly, the Aged Care Act is another issue that needs serious attention, given that we do have a rising an ageing population, and also there is very little to no recognition within the aged care sector of issues relating to GLBT, older people, and also relating to people living with HIV/AIDS who will be entering aged care facilities soon. There needs to be greater recognition, and we obviously go through in our submission the important issue around aged care. Child support. The interesting thing about child support is because the Child Support Assessment Act does not recognise co-parents and step-parents that are in same-sex relationships. If a child remains with their biological parents following a separation, they're not eligible to gain support from the co-parent under the Act. This obviously has huge ramifications for any same-sex parented family in that not having that protection of being able to gain support through the Child Support Assessment Act means that you are sort of placing that family in quite a serious financial situation. And again, that's something that that needs to be looked at. Another area which has recently been reformed is the Migration Act. In June 1st this year, the Minister amended migration regulations to allow for same-sex partners to be recognised as members of the family unit for the purpose of temporary long-stay work visas. We obviously welcome this in that it means highly skilled migrants and their partners are able to live in Australia for up to 4 years. However, recognition of same-sex relationships as a family unit has not been extended to other visa categories, which means that after the temporary visa expires, the same-sex partner is not able to be counted as part of the partner's application for residency. So after those 4 years, they would have to apply separately. Obviously, we would commend that that area be looked at quite soon as well. Yeah, under New South Wales state law, obviously there has been quite a lot of reform in this area, and same-sex relationships as a whole are generally recognised and treated equally with heterosexual de facto relationships and married relationships under New South Wales law. The one glaring omission, and it is a glaring omission, obviously, is in relation to parenting rights under New South Wales law. The main area is the Adoption Act. And same-sex couples are not recognised either for the purposes of step-parent adoption, unknown adoption, or for in relation to co-parent adoption. It is actually interesting to note that same-sex couples are sought out for foster care applications and are highly recommended by a number of foster care agencies. So it's, I suppose, an absurd situation that they're not allowed to then go the step further and adopt. The Status of Children Act, which I touched on before, is a major area of legislation that the lobby has been campaigning for the last couple of years, and one in which the government needs to be quite firmly told needs to be changed very soon. The main reason for this is firstly that particularly lesbian women are having children at an increasing rate. One in five lesbians are parents, and that number is growing significantly. And the main way in which lesbians are having children is through artificial insemination. The Status of Children Act, amending the Status of Children Act, is a no-brainer in the sense that it involves no one else. There are no other legal parents, but there are no other parents, but the two women who are involved. And so there is no issue in terms of the third person's rights, in terms of responsibilities and so forth. It is merely about the law getting up to speed and recognising that two women are raising this child, and so should both have legal recognition. There are a few points that I want to clarify about our submission that have come to our attention since we put this submission into HERIOP. The first relates to, I'm not sure if you have a submission, access to family court. And
could you just give me a page?
Sure, page 27.
Yes.
We'd like to, if possible, for the Commission to ignore the quote that was put in on page 27. It is not actually relevant to that section and contains slightly inaccurate legal information. So please ignore that.
I can tell you that we've, having taken note of this, have started to do some work ourselves on jurisdiction of the family court.
Yeah, sure. One thing to actually note just quickly about that area, the Commonwealth has drafted legislation in relation to accepting a referral power from the states in relation to heterosexual de facto relationships. And now Tasmania currently has legislation in its parliament which will refer both heterosexual and same-sex de facto powers for property disputes to the Commonwealth. If they do pass that, they will join New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria as four states who now refer both heterosexual and same-sex powers for property disputes. However, the Attorney-General has drafted legislation which will only refer powers, well, only accept powers for heterosexual relationships. So, obviously, we would encourage the inquiry to put forward a recommendation that the Attorney-General actually accepts both same-sex and opposite-sex referral powers from the states. It's quite an important issue for same-sex parents and families when they do go through a separation, that they can hear all of their disputes in the one court, being the family court.
Can I just ask you, in relation to the children, have you had any experience through your organisation with people getting parenting orders, lesbians getting parenting orders?
Parenting orders are fairly common, and they are an important, I suppose, tool to be used by a same-sex family in the absence of more concrete legislation at a state level, and they are quite important.
And that involves people who are not in any dispute, just applying for an order and then consenting to it.
Yes, that is correct. And they can be applied to anyone who has a close relationship with the child. They don't necessarily have to be a legal parent. The other area, the bankruptcy, there is only a short section we put in on the Bankruptcy Act, and that would the reason for that is, I suppose, our lack of expertise in bankruptcy law. I will only add to that that there is a possibility, since we've sought further advice on this, that the discrimination that exists actually could be a positive discrimination for same-sex couples, so it might be worthwhile investigating that to see where that lies. The other area to clarify is in relation to page 32, which is talks about insurance. Just to clarify that the health insurance industry is governed by state anti-discrimination, where it is not mandated by federal law. So our recommendation, our recommendation to incorporate a federal sexual discrimination bill may not necessarily be appropriate for that area. Obviously, we still would recommend that it exists for a wide range of reasons, not just for health insurance and insurance.
Would you send us those changes so we can amend them on the web?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no problem. We'll be updating that today and sending that through.
Thank you. David, is that?
Yep.
The presentation. You mentioned in relation to the ADF that the changes in 2005 didn't cover problems that can arise in the case of major injury to a defence personnel. What did you have in mind there? Is it a pension that follows long-term disability, or what were the major injury consequences that you had in mind? I'm not sure it's in your submission. I think it was an oral addition that put in.
From my understanding, it would be compensation. I suppose they would actually probably be covered under the... I'm not sure if there does exist a separate compensation specifically for Defence Force. If not, they would be covered under the Safety Rehabilitation and Compensation Act.
But something must have prompted that. Do you have a sort of particular example in mind?
I don't have an example in mind. It's just morely from, I suppose, from my own knowledge. It's probably more of an omission from our written submission rather than an addition from our role.
Thank you.
The one thing that I would note in regards to the questions that were sent to us previously, we have actually used a number of different definitions, and I suppose recommended a number of different changes. We haven't applied a standard, way in which you could change all laws in relation to recognising same-sex relationships.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the basis on which we've done that has, to a larger extent, been based around the definition which is used in that particular Commonwealth Act. I suppose the point is to acknowledge that unlike New South Wales, there isn't an opportunity to put forward one, or would be quite hard to put forward one piece of legislation like the De Facto Relationship Act that does bring across a standard definition, just because there are four definitions that I can think of. The de facto spouse is used in some instances, spouse is used in some instances, member of a couple is used, family unit is used. I mean, there are a plethora of different definitions which are used, and I'm not sure that it would be possible to have one standard definition which would cover all instances where same-sex relationships aren't recognised.
Okay. Okay. Can I just ask a different question? Understand that. You say that the discrepancy between extensive de facto recognition under state law and comprehensive exclusion under federal legislation exacerbates the disadvantage faced by same-sex couples.
Yep.
From your submission. Yep. Can you explain what you mean by that statement? How do you say that difference exacerbates the disadvantage?
I suppose in that there is a lack of awareness about the laws that people do and don't have, and I think that has a major impact on people's lives. If you are married, you have, and you are one of the, I suppose, the great benefits of being married is that you do know that when it comes to a law recognising a couple, married couples are recognised across the board. There's no issue of do I have rights here or don't I have rights here. I suppose it's that lack of confusion or lack of awareness about where we do and don't have rights, which I suppose exacerbates the discrimination that's faced by same-sex relationships.
Mm. Do you have any examples of that?
I suppose it's just in relation to people, and they came through our consultations, people not being fully aware of the discrimination or their rights that they do have, and then I suppose making decisions about their lives which really they should have been able to make, or they would have made differently if they were aware of the situation. The one which always popped up in our consultations was in relation to hospital visitations and decisions about a partner when they were sick. Mm. And a number of occasions people were told that they couldn't make those decisions and so they didn't. Obviously, people who are aware of the law would have sort of stood up and said, well, actually, no, I can make those decisions and I will. But when you are faced, when you are in that situation,
sure,
you aren't fully aware of the legal rights you do have.
Yep.
A lot of people did back down and not make those decisions, which obviously impacted on them and their partner.
I mean, it's because of your consultations that I'm interested in examples. I was also interested to see whether you've had any examples of how the interdependency concept category fails to accommodate people in same-sex relationships. Particularly, I understand that you say it's not the best option, but I'm wondering if that were an option that was opted for, whether you have examples of how it might fail same-sex couples.
I suppose we don't have any sort of examples that have come across, given the interdependency, not for migration, but superannuation is quite a recent addition. Nothing sort of came through in our consultations. But I suppose the one main thing, and I think Abigail may have touched on it before from AFAO, is that they're actually, the problem with interdependency is that it is, I suppose, you need to prove a number of different things which you don't have to prove for spouse. But actually, I think it was also someone else who talked about superannuation. In some ways, it is left up to an individual to decide whether or not your relationship exists. Where I think if we did have a situation where same-sex relationships were recognised spousal relationships under areas of federal law, there obviously would be less of a burden in proving that relationship. And also, I think an important thing to recognise is by having same-sex relationships recognised under law as spousal relationships, you will start to change the cultural norm about what is a spousal relationship, and therefore you will have less situations where you will need to actually prove to Social Security or prove to the tax department that you are in a spousal relationship,
sure,
because people will acknowledge the fact that they're not just opposite sex relationships.
No, I understand those things.
Unfortunately we don't have too many examples that have come to us so far about interdependency. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that seemed to me to be a problem is establishing a financial contribution.
Yeah.
It's really inviting a detailed examination of the flow of money from one to the other and people trying to do balance sheets to see which way the balance lies, which is, becomes very difficult.
And another area also is in relation to, and this actually is the case for New South Wales legislation de facto relating to property disputes as well, is having to, it is only a factor, but also having to prove an existence of a public relationship. We should acknowledge that there are still many relationships that aren't open, and people who aren't publicly open about their relationship for obvious reasons. And so having that sort of extra bit, having to prove that you're public about your relationship is another issue. I mean, obviously, if you are applying for something, you would have to be public to the extent that you're applying to the person who's making the decision. But having to be public in the sense that you need other people who are not part of that process to be aware of your relationship is an issue that should be taken into account.
Sure.
You raised the problem of child support and co-parenting situations where there's a separation. Is that something that can be dealt with through the state courts? Is there any power to get maintenance orders through the state system?
I wouldn't be able to. I couldn't answer that off the top of my head. The person to speak to about that actually is Jenny Milbank. I'm not sure if she mentioned that. I know she made an application. She's an associate professor from Sydney University Law School and is an expert on gay and lesbian parents. She actually authored our report in 2002 around our parenting consultation. So I wouldn't know if it is possible. From my understanding, I wouldn't know if
that's... No, David, we can follow that up. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you have any other questions?
No, I don't have any other questions.
David, thank you very much for coming on, and thank you for your very detailed submission. There are a lot of issues in there which are important, but some of them, for example, the parenting rights one, is going to be taken up by two other organisations this afternoon, so
great.
I won't cover that in more detail. Thank you very much.
Thank you.